B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
On the line with us right now, Bob Cooney, you know this man very well, from Inquirer.com. And how about this? Sports Writer of the Year.
Pennsylvania Sports Writer of the Year.
Just honored the other day as well, Mr. Bob Ford from Inquirer.com. Bob, good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. Good to be with you.
Absolutely. Congratulations on, is this the latest honor? You've won this more than a couple of times before, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, well, I bought the association several years ago, so it's a lot easier to win, but thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
Very well deserved, even if it is you giving yourself. No, Bob, seriously, congrats, man. That's an awesome thing, and you certainly never have a shortage of things to write about here in Philadelphia sports. First thing I want to get into with you right here is Andy Reid making it to a second Super Bowl. You certainly were covering the team while he was here. This franchise took an about face. They really turned it around when Andy Reid took things over in 1999.
I mean, they were coming out of a bad stretch there. And Jeff Lurie, you have to give him a lot of credit at the time. Signs a, you know, an unknown assistant, not even a coordinator, unknown assistant from Green Bay. Nobody ever heard of the guy. And he obviously, he's now seventh on the all-time win list among coaches for regular season wins. That's amazing. And, yeah, he turned things around here. He got the Eagles to 5 conference championships and one Super Bowl, and we all know that story. And then it was time for him to go. But yeah, probably the greatest coach in Eagles history.
Yeah, I think it goes without saying. So you're looking at another situation now where he's going to go out there to another Super Bowl. And it seems like every single player that's ever played for him, very few exceptions, I'll say, he seems to be the type of guy that, as fans, we didn't really ever get to see. A guy that is holding guys accountable behind the scenes and at the same time getting guys to play at the highest level possible. How do you think it is? And Trey's spoken to this. I'd like to get your take on it as well. How do you think he's been able to reach those guys to motivate him?
Well, there's a lot of things that we don't see with all coaches and in all locker rooms and all teams. And one of the things that always struck me about Andy is behind the scenes, and you had to really be around a lot to learn this. He has this great sense of humor. And, you know, you never saw it. He always sounded like kind of a dour guy and just a guy who was just sort of, you know, up there mouthing, you know, what he had to say. But he was really, really funny. And guys just really liked the guy a lot. And he treated them like men. He didn't have a lot of stupid rules, you know, and he expected them to act professionally. And if they did, then there weren't a lot of dumb things that they had to do that goes along with it. And guys want to play for someone like that. Mm-hmm. And so I think the motivation was that he was just a genuine individual. And Trey can speak more to this than I can. He was just, what was just came across about it was that there was no phoniness. And that if, you know, whatever he said is what he believed, and you were going to get the straight, you know, the straight stuff from him. And I think that's what has made him a good motivator and a good leader and someone that teammates want to, teams want to follow.
To flip it back to Philadelphia now, still a vacancy at the offensive coordinator position for the Eagles. Do you get any feel for where the Eagles are going to go, what direction, whether that's in-house with a guy like Deuce Daly or if that's somebody from outside the organization?
I don't, and I still believe that Doug Peterson wanted to keep Mike Groh. I think that there was some palace, you know, debate about that, and the owner won out. I truly believe that. And so, you know, if you didn't let the guy pick who he wanted to keep, how are you letting the guy pick who he wants to have replace him? And I just think it's probably a difficult search process. I think Deuce deserves it. I think Deuce deserves to be a head coach. But, you know, who's making the call? I want to know who's making the call, and because I don't think on retaining Groh, it was the head coach. And I think that's troublesome when a guy is not picking his own staff.
Bob, we're going to switch sports here on you. The performance that Ben Simmons had on Monday was one of all the basketball you and I have seen, and a lot of it together. That was a performance that I think is going to stick in my head for a long time. My question to you, you think he's closer to that type of a player, the type of game that he had on Monday? Do you think a 23-year-old growing, he's going to become closer to that type of a player all the time, or is that more of an anomaly? Is that something that we're not going to see as often as we'd like?
Boy, figuring out Ben Simmons. the thing about that game that struck me, Bob, and maybe it struck you, was that, you know, with Embiid out, with Norvell Pell, you know, at the end of his two-way contract status, with Horford still suffering a little bit with his hand, with Jonah Bolden being pretty unplayable and Kyle O'Quinn not being much better, Simmons was down being your backup center, at least defensively, and certainly around the box offensively. And they used Nito a lot at the point guard in the second half. A lot of those numbers that you were alluding to came with Ben off the ball.
Right.
Now, what does this tell us, class? I mean, is this the best Ben Simmons, the best way to use Ben Simmons and get the most out of him? Now, this was a situation where, you know, necessity forced them to do this, but necessity may have, you know, opened their eyes a little bit more to the best Ben Simmons. Maybe you saw it differently, Bobby, but that's what I saw.
Yeah, I see a guy that is on, and I've said this all year and since last year, he's unstoppable when he gets ahead of steam and goes to the basket. The decision that he makes from 15 on in determines whether he's going to be, to me, an all-star every year or a frustrating guy who turns his back on the basket, kicks out to a 30% three-point shooter because he's open, and that's your offense right there. I still think there's room for him to handle the ball quite often, but when teams go zone, when you need a spark, I have no problem him playing along the baseline and creating from there.
No, yeah, and that you're right. That decision-making process, once he gets going towards the basket, and it's not just turning around and kicking out, which he does so often, but leaning away from contact because
right.
Does he not want to go to the foul line or shooting one of those little fadeaway things that are so annoying? I mean, go in there and get the other guy in foul trouble and get yourself to the line and make your free throws. And, you know, it seems simple, but it's obviously not simple for Ben. And, yeah, is it a mindset? I hope so. I hope it's not a mindset that he only gets going when Embiid is out, because this team is not going to want to go forward with Embiid being out. So what's going to happen when the big guy comes back? You know, what's going to happen with all that room to maneuver in there? I don't know. It was amazing. It was eye-opening. It was terrific. I thought there were a lot of reasons for it, circumstances where you could explain, not explain it away, but explain it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And like you, I want to see it every night. If you're going to be the guy, you have to be the guy every night.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking with current Pennsylvania Sports Writer of the Year, Bob Ford from Inquirer.com. Bob, the other thing is that we're always looking at Ben Simmons. Joel Embiid's out right now. We need a little bit more from Al Horford, who closed out a game strong against the Nets, 9 of his 14 coming in the fourth quarter. But the other guy that's kind of been streaky throughout the year has been Tobias Harris, another big money guy. What do you expect from him tonight after a just 3 of 10 from beyond the arc type night against the Nets?
Well, that's what shooters do. And on balance, I've been really happy with Tobias Harris this year. I think he's certainly a guy who's willing to take a shot and makes himself available to take a shot. And yeah, shooters are going to have nights when they miss. Even Bobby Cooney missed a couple shots. but I don't have any problem with Tobias Harris, and I fully expect him to, you know, I think that the numbers on the back of his trading card are going to be the numbers that you're going to see. I think he's that guy. He's not a guy I worry about. I mean, I worry about him a little bit defensively, but I also think that he's been better defensively than I expected him to be. And a lot of that is because he's able to play out a little more aggressively than might be his nature when Embiid is back protecting the rim. But I think even when Embiid's been out, he's been handling himself pretty well on that end. So I'm not worried about him, Mark.
Okay.
There's plenty of other guys to worry about, I think.
Well, let me throw another guy out at you, Bob. Furkan Korkmaz has at least opened my eyes a little bit to where my confidence has grown in him this year. Enough to say, okay, he might be a piece they can use, and it's certainly someone I want to look for in the future to grow him more, to maybe be that player off the bench as a shooter. How do you assess him?
Well, his path has been just ridiculously strange, even by Sixer standards. I mean, they don't tender him an extension. You know, they let him go. He can't find another job. They don't find anybody else. They're stuck. They bring him back, and now he's, you know, an important piece of the rotation. He's playing, this is sort of a Tobias Harris thing, he's playing a little bit better defense than I expected, because I didn't expect him to play any defense at all. And he's playing a little bit better defense. He's trying. You know, he's got those size 25 green shoes out there flopping around after guys, and I just, I'd like him. I just, you talk about a guy who's not afraid to take a shot. I mean, he'll sit on the bench. If you throw him the ball, he'll take a shot. He's great in that regard. And they need, you know, when they've got Simmons in the backcourt, they need somebody like that who defenses have to say, okay, we have to play a little bit honest because this guy's out on the floor. So yeah, no, I think like you going forward, I don't have any problem with Furkan Korkmaz being a part of this team or a part of the rotation. And he gives you just that instant offense that you need. Like all shooters, he's not going to hit every night, but he's got great range, and he does not mind taking a shot.
Speaking with Bob Ford, Inquirer.com, the other thing I want to get into with you, Bob, real quick, is when you're looking at some of the guys that are coming off the bench for this team, you're not really sure who's going to be the guy giving the biggest contribution, which is why now the name Derrick Rose has come about, with the Sixers being interested in him, or the Lakers also interested. Would you add Derrick Rose to this roster?
Well, you'd have to tell me what it's going to cost me. I don't think he's a great fit because I think he's best on ball. And how much are you going to give up and how much are you going to pay when Ben is your ball-dominant guy for 35 minutes a game?
Mm-hmm.
He can play off ball some. He can give you some scoring. I don't know how much he has left. At this point, he's 36, 35, something like that.
He's younger than that, 31.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah. I thought he was older, too, because it seems like he's been around forever. But no, he's only 31 years old. He's going 18 points per game, about 6 assists for the Pistons in a backup role.
Yeah, I mean, sure, I would take a look at him. If it's going to cost me, you know, Jonah Bolden and Mike Scott and
Zaire Smith is another name that's come up.
Yeah, Zaire Smith and something like that. Then, you know, I would certainly, they need to do something. Let's face it, that trade deadline can't pass without them adding something to this roster in terms of perimeter creation and shot making. And they've got to do something. And I guess at 31, that's a reasonable name. I don't know what kind of salary he drags him. You know, they figure that stuff out. And sure, I would take a run at him. I think there's guys who would be better fits simply because he's a little bit more on ball than you would like the guy you bring in to be. But you know what? They've got to do something. So why not? Why not, Mark?
We're plugging in offensive coordinators. We're getting trades for the Sixers. We've accomplished it all this morning, Bob Ford.
Except that luxury tax thing that guy was so upset about.
we'll have to cross that off our list next time. But, Bob, always great talking to you. Congratulations again, man. Well-deserved, my friend.
All right, guys. Have a great day. Thank you.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.